Today's daf is Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin. You'll excuse the background noise, recording from an airport in between flights. We'll try to do a quick daf. Okay, we're starting from the Gemara. Menani Mile. So the Mishnah had talked about the way they sat in the Sanhedrin, that it was a semicircle. So now we're going to see the source of this. We've seen the source before also. Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Damar Kra. Sharech Agan Asar Al Yechzar Hamazik. It's a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, which translates as your navel is like a round goblet. That's Agana Sahar, is a round goblet. Al Yechzar HaMazeg, there should be no mixed wine. The wine won't be wanting, meaning there'll be enough of it. We'll later talk about the end of that pasuk also, which isn't quoted yet. Shrarech Zos Sanhedrin. So they say the Shrarech, the navel, is a reference to the Sanhedrin. V'lama nikra shma Shrarech, sheyoshevet b'tiburo shel olam. Because it sits in the navel of the world, in the center of the world, in the Beit HaMikdash. That's considered the midpoint. Right, again, through our view, that's the midpoint of the world. Agan, shehi migina al kol haolam kulo. So they translate agan, which is really a goblet, but they use the Shoresh to say Agan is like Lahagain, to protect. So it protects the whole world. That's what the Sanhedrin does. It using justice, right? Justice protects. Hasahar, shehido melis sahar. Here we get to sahar. Sahar is round, and it's like sahar is a reference to the moon. And the moon, right, again, depends when you see it, an eclipse or no eclipse, the moon is often in a semicircular shape, right? Or not often, but, you know, at some points, whenever we generally draw a picture of the moon, it's that semicircular shape. Al yachzar ha-mazik, she'im utrach echad mehem latzeit, ro'im. Okay, it should never be wanting, the wine. So now they're saying, this is like the Sanhedrin. If someone needs to leave, ro'im. Im yesh esrim u'shloshah k'neged Sanhedrin k'tana yotze. Im lav eino yotze. The Sanhedrin HaGdola had 71, but they say at every given point it had to have 23 people there. And therefore, it's like having a quorum. So you always had to check to make sure before you left that there were at least 23 there. Bitnech aremat chitin. This is the continuation of the pasuk. Okay, your stomach is like a heap of wheat. Ma aremat chitin ha-kol nehenim mimena, af Sanhedrin ha-kol nehenim mita'amehen. Just like a heap of wheat, everybody benefits from the Sanhedrin. Also, everybody benefits from all their reasons that they give for all their explanations of the Torah. Sugaba shoshanim, it's said about with the lilies. Shafilu kesuga shoshanim lo yifritzu bahem pratzot. Just like a fence, if you have a fence made of lilies, it's protecting. So likewise, the people can't how do you say it? Like the way we do pratzot, you do gederot, right? How do you say it? Fences around the Torah. So the Sanhedrin provides these fences to prevent the people from doing sins. V'hainu da'amar luha hu mina l'Rav Kahana. And this is what Rav Kahana, there was a case with Rav Kahana that a heretic came to Rav Kahana and said, Amaritu nida shari li yichude bahade gavra, efshar esh b'na orev enam abhevet. So you say that Anita is allowed to be mityached, to be alone in a house with her husband. So how could you possibly say this? If a man sleeps with his wife when she's in Nida, it's Isur Karet. And if Shar Esh Bana Orev Einam Avhevet, can you set a fire to chips and they won't start going on fire? So how could you allow a man to sleep with his wife when she's in Nida and to be alone without anybody else in the house? Amarle, HaTorah hi'ida aleinu suga b'shoshanim. Shafilu kesuga b'shoshanim lo yifru ben pratzot. Okay, they wouldn't even... Oh, I actually realize now I misunderstood the suga b'shoshanim. It's actually not such a strong fence, according to this interpretation. Right, that they wouldn't even breach. That's what it means. Sorry, I explained it wrong. They wouldn't even breach a fence of lilies. Okay, that even though it's not a very strong fence, they wouldn't be able, right, they wouldn't go past it. That's a compliment about the Jewish people. Rish Lakish Amar Mehacha. How do we know that they're not going to sin? Because we learn it from this other pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Kepela Harim Omer Katech. Right? They're obviously making all these references to Shir HaShirim, where it's generally understood to be an allegory for the Jewish people and their relationship with God, and all these unique things about the Jewish people. So, afilu, what does it mean, kapela charimom rakatech? Your temples are like pomegranates that are split like a slice of pomegranate. Shafilu b'tedarshin rakatech reikanim shaba shabrecha melei mitzvot karimon. We always use this reference at Rosh Hashanah that rimonim are full of seeds, and that's how we're full of zchuyot and full of mitzvot. So they say even the empty people among the Jewish people are still full of mitzvot. We're going to see a story about that in a minute. Rabbi Zera Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Zera had a different reference, and remember this Rabbi Zera because he's going to appear in the story. Ayarach et reach begadav, and he smelled. This is with Yaakov. He smelled his clothes. Altakre begadav ela bogdav. Okay, in other words, what happened? He smelled the smell of Esav, who was really, right, generally in our tradition, we look at him very negatively. But we're saying even the bogdim, even those who are traitors or sinners, still have good qualities, the smell. Okay, story. Anu biryone, dehava b'shivivuta de Rabbi Zera. There were biryonim, these rough and tough guys, that lived in the community of Rabbi Zera. To have a makariv lehu, ki hechi dinahadru lehu b'tiyuvta. So Rabbi Zera said, I'm going to be makariv of these guys. I want to be friends with them. I want to create a relationship with them so that they'll be chozer b'tshuva. V'hava kapdei rabbanan. And the rabbis were very upset with them about this. They didn't think that he should be doing this. Ki nach nafshei de Rabbi Zera, Amre, when he died, these biryonim said, Ada ina hava charicha katin shakei dehava ba'alam rachamei. Until this point, until Rabbi Zera died, there was this short guy with singed legs, and that's this charicha katin shakei, he had short legs, and they were singed, that would pray for rachamim for us. Hashta mam ba'alam rachamei. Who's going to ask for rachamim for us now that he's dead? Here harubili bayu va'avdu tshuva. So they were meharher b'libam, right, and they rethought about, they gave perspective to their lives, and they decided to do tshuva. This is a very interesting story, because you can read it in a bunch of different ways. So first of all, you see that the rabbis disapproved, and yet, in the end, was he right or not? So the story seems to indicate, well, he was right, because look, after he died, they were chozer b'tshuva. On the other hand, there's a bit of critique here, because what happened? They were only chozer b'tshuva once he died. When he was alive, so first of all, he didn't get to benefit from seeing the rewards that, oh, look, I got these people to be chozer b'tshuva. But it sounds like, kol od he was alive, as long as he was alive, they viewed him as, like, they could sort of live vicariously through him. So they didn't have to be religious or be good people, because it's not necessarily religion they're talking about here also. They were obviously these hooligans who were beating people up. They said, oh, we have a rabbi who's praying for us. But as soon as he died, it made them do tshuva. So it actually, on the one hand, at first glance, it looks like he was doing a good thing. Second glance, it's a little bit tricky because it's not so clear that it was such a good thing if they thought that they could rely on that and not, you know, and keep going on with their lives as long as he was still alive. Okay, last section, the Mishnah, Shalosh Shurot, they would sit in three rows. Amar Abai, Shma Mina, Ki Naideh Kulu Naideh, we learned about this the other day, that as soon as one moved, right, everybody moved positions. When one went up to be in the Sanhedrin, then all the people, all the Talmidim in the rows, everybody moved up a little bit, everybody moved into the other's position. If the guy could say, listen, I was, you know, yesterday I was the first guy in the second row, now I'm the last guy in the first row. And he could say, I don't want to be the last guy in the row. He could say, Hashta motvitu li bedanve. I want to be put in the front. Yesterday I was, or just before, I was in the front. Now you're sticking me in the back, in the zanav, danve is zanav. Amar Abaye, da'amri lehachi. This is what you should say to him if he complains. Havi zanav la'arayot, ba'alti rosh l'shualim. Right, you should always be, better to be the tail of the lion than to be the head of the shu'al of the fox. From Pirkei Avot, a very famous Mishnah. Here you also see, it a little bit connects to the previous story about who you should associate with, and anyway, you could kind of connect them. Okay, new Mishnah. Ketzav ma'aymin et ha'edin. How would they intimidate the witnesses al edei nefashot in cases of capital punishment, capital law? Hayu machnisin otanu ma'aymin aleihem. They would bring them into a room and threaten them like they were, scare them like this. Shema tumru me'omed umishmua. Is it possible what you're saying is really just conjecture or based on a rumor? Or, aid me p aid, maybe it's hearsay. Umipi Adam Ne'eman, or maybe you heard it from someone who was very trusted, and you said, oh, well, if he said it, must be true. Maybe you don't know that in them we're going to interrogate you very, very, very thoroughly, and if you're lying, we're going to find out. So they kind of say, you know, make sure you really have your stuff and that you're really witnesses, and you can tell us exactly what happened, and not that you're just sort of deriving from what you saw or hearing or the other options. Heve yodim shaloka dinei mamonot dinei nefashot. They continued to tell them, no, that it's not the same as monetary law when you're talking about capital law. If you lie for dinei mamonot, so you can just give money back and compensate for what you did. But dinei nefashot, damo v'dam zarotav tluyim bo ad sof ha'olam. But in capital law, it's someone's blood on your hands. His blood and the blood of his future sons or children are attached to this. Shekem matzinu b'kayin. Now they remind him about what happened with Kayin. Sharag et achiv, killed Hevel. Shenemar deme achicha soakim. It says there, the blood of your brother is soakim, right, is calling out from the ground. Eino omer dam achicha el adam deme achicha. It doesn't say the blood of your brother, it says the bloods. So what is the bloods? We're going to have a few different interpretations. Damo v'dam zarotav. So the first is going to match what we just said, which is his and his offspring. Tavar acher, different interpretation. Demei achicha she'a damo mushlach al etzim va'al avanim. The blood was splattered on the trees and the stones, and that's why it's talking about multiple blood, because the blood was everywhere. Lefichach, now the court continues to tell them, nivra adam yechidi. This is why man was created alone. This is why there was first Adam HaRishon, to teach you what? Lelamdecha. We're going to now see a bunch of things you learn from the fact that Adam was created alone. Anyone who kills one person, it's as if he killed an entire world. And that's what they warn the witnesses before they start testifying against someone to get them killed, that they should know this. And anyone who allows someone to live, okay, it's the flip side, which is as if you created an entire world. Okay, second reason why Adam HaRishon was created alone. It's very interesting. Another reason is so no one could say, my father's greater than your father. Interesting that we talk about in this context of the judges and this whole is all about a bit of a hierarchy in society. And we want to make sure, so Adam was created Yechidi, so that you shouldn't say that Adam. And another thing is that the heretics wouldn't say there's a lot of gods in the world, because if there were many people created at the same time, they could say, well, one God created one person and a different God created a different person. Ulahagig gdulato shel kadosh baruch hu. This is another reason. What's the greatness of God? Adam tovea kama matriot b'chotam achad. Somebody makes an imprint on a mint coins, right? So you can make a million coins, right, in the exact same image. Kulam domim ze laze. They're all the same. Umelech machay amlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tava kol adam b'chotamo shel adam HaRishon. Everyone is created from one man. Ve'en echad mehem domeh l'chaviro. And yet we're all uniquely different. Lefichach kol echad ve'echad chayav lomar b'shvili nivra olam. So everyone should view themselves as if the world was created for them. And maybe you'll say, okay, so now we're going back to, that was a whole bunch of different reasons why Adam was created alone. Now we're back to the court. They say now to the witnesses, you might want to say, on the one hand, they're scaring them. Make sure you know what you're talking about. But then, if they scare them too much, what's going to be the problem? No one's going to want to testify. So, maybe, why do I want to bother? This is so heavy, right? You're making me feel like I'm going to kill someone, maybe for not the right reason. Oh my God. So, halukvar ne'amar v'hu ed o ra'a o yada im lo yagid. But it says, right, the end of that pasuk is v'nasav o no. If you're an ed and you saw something or you know about something and you don't testify, so you're going to be punished for that. V'shema tamru ma lanu lachu b'damo shel zeh, but maybe we don't want to be responsible for causing this person's death. Halukvar ne'amar b'avod v'sha'im rina. When the v'sha'im are killed, they're singing. Okay, and this is basically, yes, it's true you're killing someone, but if it's a rasha, and he might kill other people, so you know, you're doing something good. So in others, on the one hand, they tell them, you have a chiyuv, you have to testify if you know something. And then, and in the other direction they're going in is also what you're doing is a good thing, ultimately. Okay, the Gemara starts with a braita. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzav me omed. What's a case of omed, where we said that maybe you'll say based on conjecture? Omer lahen, shema kach re'item. They say maybe this is what you saw. Sharat zachar chaveru l'churba. You saw someone going, chasing someone to kill him. Or you don't know exactly who's going to kill him, but at least you do something bad to him. Virat to macharav, and you ran after him, but you didn't actually see what happened. And then umutzatem saif biyado v'damo mitavteif, and you saw a sword in one guy's hand and blood coming out, but you didn't actually see him kill. The harug mefarper, and you see the dead person convulsing. Im kach reitem lo reitem klum. That's what you saw. That's not testimony. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, another braita. Shimon ben Shetach said, Ebi nechamayim lo ra'iti echad sharat zachar chavero l'churva v'ratzki acharav v'ra'iti saif b'yado v'damo v'tavtef v'harug v'farper. That whole scene, right? In other words, Ebi nechamayim, meaning I will not, it really means I will not see the nechama if I wasn't in this type of situation. V'amarti lo rasha mi haragol lezeh o ani o ata. And I said to him, Rasha, it's either, who killed this person? It's either you or me. We're the only two people here. But what can I do? Because I'm not allowed to kill you. Okay, so basically what he's saying is, if I get to this situation, then I'll know that there's nechama, if I was in that situation and I didn't put him to death. If you know, right, it's only Hayodeh Machshavot, only God will be able to punish the one who knows, be able to punish the one who killed. Only God, who's Hayodeh Machshavot, will punish the person that killed his friend. In other words, in this case, there's no way for the court to do it. Only God can do it. Amru, they said, Lo Zazu Misham. So after he said this, because this was the situation he was in, it's, I guess, maybe I'm explaining this wrong, right? I guess he swore like this, and he said, this once happened to me. I think he was, I misunderstood the beginning. Ereben Nechama means, it's a lashon of a swear. He's saying, I swear that this happened, I was in this situation, and then what happened? Lo zazu misham ad sheba nachash v'chisho v'meit. So then what happened? The person got bitten by a snake, the one who was obviously, he did the killing, and he died. V'hai bar nachashu, but now the Gemara asks, he shouldn't be killed by a snake. V'hai mar Rav Yosef, v'chein tana de bechizkia, b'yom shecharav beit hamikdash, afal pisha batlas sanedre, arba mito lo batlu. Since from the time that they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and there's no sanedrin anymore, even though there's no sanedrin, we still have the arba mito beitin, the four ways that they kill people in the court. So then they say, what are you talking about? Lo batlu? What do you mean? They weren't canceled. V'habatlu, but the Sanhedrin doesn't function anymore. Once the Sanhedrin doesn't function, there's no capital punishment. Ela din arba mitot lo batlu. What does that mean? The halacha of the four mitot is still in existence. How so? So now they're going to say it's more mishamayim. How does this work? Misha nitchayev skila, someone who's supposed to be stoned, one of two things is going to happen to him. Onofel menagag, either he's going to fall from the roof, which is similar to what they did when they would stone people. They pushed him from a high place, he fell, and then they would put rocks on him. O chayad dorasto, or an animal would attack him, which is kind of similar. Mishanit chayev srefa, someone who was supposed to get killed by burning. O nofel b'delika, either he gets burned in a fire. O nachash mechisho, because it's like a burning sensation when a nachash kills him. Now this is going to be our issue, because the person who killed someone else gets punished b'sai. If he doesn't get killed, he gets punished by the sword. He doesn't get killed by srefa. If it was srefa, then it would make sense that he got bitten by a snake. Mishanit chayev hariga, those who are supposed to get killed by the sword. Onim sar lamachut, either he gets sent to the authorities, right, the Romans, who were in power then, and they would kill him. O listim ba'imalaf, or he would get attacked by robbers, armed robbers. Mishanit chayev chenek, someone who's supposed to get strangled. O tovea benahar, because you're kind of choked by doing that. O meit bisronchi, which is some kind of it's diphtheria, and it would basically constrict your breathing. Amre, hahu chet achrit. So again, that's the question. How could it be nachash yichisho? So they say, that guy who killed, hahu chet achriti havabe. He had some other
thing he did wrong, which was mechayev him sreifa. In addition, he killed this person, which made him mechayev hereg. And it said that someone who did two things, mechayev mitzvah beitin, gets punished by the more severe one. This whole thing is a little problematic because we're a little bit playing God in this sugya, right, in terms of saying we know that if someone gets this death, it must be they've done some other avera. Me'omed. So going back to this issue of conjecture, what did they say? This is all in Dine Mamono. Dine Nefasha. This is what you say to the witnesses in the capital law, that you can't say things based on conjecture, based on hearsay, based on all these things. But now, what's the assumption? B'dinei nefashot hu delo amrinan. Ha'b'dinei mamonot delo amdinan. Ha'b'dinei mamonot amdinan. According to this, it sounds like you could do dinei mamonot based on conjecture. If you seems to you from the situation that someone owes someone money, so you can assume that. So according to the Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to say, Kiman, who does this go like? Ki Rabbi Acha. Titania, this goes like Rabbi Acha's opinion. It says in a braita, Rabbi Acha omer, Gamal ha'ocher ben agmalim. There's a camel going crazy between the other gmalim. Some people say this was while he was mating, aroused during mating, or maybe it was he was snorting, or maybe it means that he was just kind of making some sort of crazy commotion. V'nimtza gamul harug b'tzido, and then you see another gamal killed beside him. B'yadua sheze harago, you can assume that he killed him, in which case you can make the owner of the gamal, the camel owner, pay damages for what he did. So here you see that in Dine Mamono, so that's Rabbi Acha's opinion. So our Mishnah follows Rabbi Acha in saying that it's not in Dine Mamono, because in Dine Mamono you could go based on conjecture. So now the Gemara questions and says, wait a minute. There was a whole list of things in our Mishnah. There was Me'omed, there was hearsay, there was all sorts of other things. So V'litamech, Eid Mipi Eid, so if you do hearsay, Dekatane, B'dine Mamonot, B'dine Nefashot, Hu Delo Amrinan, Ha'B'dine Mamonot Amrinan. So now you're going to say that in Dine Nefashot, right? What's the assumption? That all these things can only be in capital, but in Dine Mamonot, you're allowed to. What do you mean you're allowed to? V'hatnan. We already learned in the Mishnah, if you remember this one, im amar hu amar li shani chayav lo, ish ploni amar lo shu chayav lo, lo amar klum, ad shi amar befoneinu hodalo shu chayav lo matayim zuz. We learned this on Daf Kaf Tet, that if you say, okay, all sorts of cases, but the main one for our purposes being, someone else told me that he said he owed the money, that's not admissible in court. Okay, likewise, if you say the person himself told me he owed money, it's not good enough. You have to say, in front of us, he admitted. We gave some reasons there what the differences are between case number one and case number three, but the important one is the middle case for our purposes. Alma, so what is the assumption? The assumption is that you misread the Mishnah. When you said that the Mishnah was only according to Rabbi Acha and that it was allowed for Dina Mamonot, the Mishnah never said it was allowed for Dina Mamonot. You just assume that. But if you assume it for the first case of the conjecture, then you have to assume it for Amy P.A., and that's for sure not true. So therefore, Alma afagav de psile bedine mamonot, amrin luhu bedine nefashot. Hachanami afagav de psile bedine mamonot, amrin luhu bedine nefashot. Even though these are also puzzle for dine mamonot, this is one of the warnings we give for the edim who are coming in a capital case. But it doesn't mean that in dine mamonot it's allowed. It's just one of the scare tactics, you know, one of the things we say to the witnesses before they testify in dine nefashot. But it's also obviously not going to be admissible in dine mamonot. Havu yod'im. So now we're getting to the kain and hevel part, where the Gemara says, the Mishnah said that one of the things you tell the witnesses is that you should know that they're not, Dine Nefashot is not like Dine Mamonot, because look what happened to Kayim when he killed his brother. We take this very seriously. Amar of Yehuda Bered to Rabbi Chia, Melamed Sha'asa Kayim Behevel Achiv Chaburot Chaburot Ptsiot Ptsiot Shelo Haya Yodea Mehecha Neshama Yotzet Ad Shigia Letzavaro. We learn from here, because it says Deme Achicha, we're back to the Drashan Deme Achicha, that he caused all sorts of bloods to come out of his body. He made all sorts of holes in him and injuries, and it wasn't even clear, right, where his neshama, from what he died, okay, until he came to his neck, and that's when he actually died, okay? In other words, oh, sorry, I didn't explain it right. Cain didn't know how to kill him. He wasn't trained in, shoot for the heart, right? So he tried stabbing him in all different places or killing him in all different places until he got to his neck, and then he realized that's where he was going to die from. So now remember, what did we say? The blood went into the ground. So once the the ground opened its mouth and accepted the blood of Hevel, shuv lo patcha, never again opened up. Shenemar, pasuk from Yeshayahu, miknaf haaretz mirot shamanu tzvi latzadik. From the corner of the earth, there were songs singing glory to the tzaddik, to the righteous. Miknaf haaretz velo mipi haaretz. This came out of the corners of the earth, but not from the mouth of the earth, because the mouth of the earth will never open. But now we all know that the mouth of the earth did open. At what point? In the story of Korach, the ground opened up and swallowed up Korach and all of his people. So Amarle l'ra'a patcha l'tova lo patcha. It only opens for bad, not for good anymore. Once Cain killed Hevel, it would no longer open for good things. And that's why the good had to come out from the corners and not from the ground itself. V'amar Rav Yehuda b'Reda Rav Chiya, galut. Okay, so he was quoted before. Now he's going to continue to quote, also from Cain, same people and same sugya of Cain, but a different kivun. And from here, we're going to go off into saying a bunch of things about galut. That the galut, the exile, is mechaperet avon mechze. It atones for half of the sin. How so? Meikarkti v'hayita navanad. First, it's told to Cain, he's going to be a fugitive, and he's going to be wandering. Okay? In other words, Na is the wandering, and Nad is a fugitive. Ulevasof p'tiv v'yeshev be'eretz nod. And here they say, because he dwelled in Eretz Nod, but there's no... Nod sounds like Nad, and there's no reference to Na. So they say he's no longer going to be a wanderer, he's only going to be a fugitive. Oh, sorry, it's the opposite. I confused the terms. Right. Na is the fugitive, and Nad is the wanderer. And Vayesha Be'eretz Nod, he's only going to be a wanderer, he's no longer going to be a fugitive. So once he went to exile, already half of his Avera was atoned for. Amar Rav Yehuda, galut mechaperet shlosha dvarim. There's three things that exile is atones for. Shenemar, komar Hashem. Okay, and here it's pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Hayoshev ba'aretz hazot yamut b'cherev b'rav u'b'dever. Okay, whoever stays here is going to get killed by the sword, by famine, or by pestilence. B'hayotze v'nafal ala kasim, and those who go into exile, hatzarim alechem, the bavlim who were basically besieging you, b'chaya, you will live, v'haytalo nafsho l'shalal. Okay, and he'll basically survive. Even though, right, he's going into exile. So those who stayed got killed, and those who went into exile were able to still survive. Rabbi Yochanan amar galut mechaperet al hakol. Okay, so first we saw galut mechaperet half a sin. Now we see, then we saw galut mechaperet on three things. How did they get three things from here? Ah, right, the three things are the cherev, the rav, and the dever. And that's really three punishments. It's different from the first, which is about your sin. This is three punishments. And now Rabbi Yochanan says it's actually mechaper on everything. Shenemar ko amar Hashem, kitvua te'ish hazeh ariri gever le'etzlach b'yamav, ki le'etzlach mizaro ish yoshev akisei David moshel o b'yuda. So first it says he's talking about Yechoniah, and he's going to go into God. He won't succeed at all. No one's going to continue to rule. But after Batar de Gala, after he goes to Galut, it says, Ubeno Yechaniah yisar beno shaltiel beno Yisar, she barto imo bebeit asurin. Yisar is a reference that his mother was pregnant when, got impregnated when he was in jail. And then Shaltiel, and here we're going to see where the kapara comes in. Shachatlo el shaloka derech nishtalim. His mother conceived in a strange way. How's that? Gemirei she'enei shamataberet mu'umad. She can't get impregnated if she has relations while she's standing. And she got pregnant with him in a unique way. Davar acher, and here we get to the important part. Shalti el shenish ala lalato el, that Yechoniah, that there was an oath taken against Yechoniah that he would never have children, and then here God basically dissolved the oath against him, and he was able to have a child. Zerubbabel, Shenizrabi Bavel, that was another son. Umashmo, and who was the one who was Nizrabi Bavel? Nechemiah ben Chachalyashmo. That was Nechemiah who came from Yechoniah.